T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Colorado Avalanche raised the cup. It took a really great team to dethrone Tampa Bay. Bob and I in agreement that the Lightning deserve a ton of credit for everything that they've accomplished. Really, what have they been in the last 8 years? I think they've been to 4 finals, two additional conference finals, and they've won a couple cups. So that's a hell of a team, but this one was clearly better, in spite of the fact that there was a pronounced edge in goaltending, the most important position for Tampa Bay. What about Jack Johnson raising the cup? I think he was the 4th guy to get it. Eric Johnson was the first after Landeskog, after the captain. What did you make of Jack Johnson and that story?
It was a great opportunity for him to fit in a team where his role was kind of minimal, although throughout the course of the playoffs, he did play a lot of minutes in some of those games. So just a veteran guy back there. You know, if he keeps it simple, he can be effective, and that's all they asked him to do. He didn't need to do a lot on that defensive core because they had so many good players. Taves, nobody talks about Taves, but Taves is really, really good. McCarr gets all the talk. But the bottom line is, I feel good for him. He's gone through a lot in his life, from the parent situation that resulted in, lawsuits against his own mother and father for taking money. I'm happy that he got a chance to hoist it.
Yeah, that's the reason that I'm happy for the guy. Is that's one of the most sickening, honestly, life stories I've ever seen in my life. Having said that, they found a way to hide him. I mean, let's be honest, he played 8 minutes and 50 seconds last night.
A role. Not unlike guys that the Penguins brought in.
Sure.
Veteran guys. Hainsey had a role.
Well, Hainsey had a prominent role.
He did, however. But you know what I mean. Guys who weren't part of it.
I mean, they found a way to hide him.
Right.
Is what he did. He did some good things.
A little Jack Johnson goes a long way.
A very little, yes. and it doesn't erase the fact that he's the worst signing in Penguins history and that they're still paying for it to the tune of a $2 million cap hit this coming season, which is the cost of a player. He basically cost them a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so all of that can be true, I think, at the same time, that for a guy who's been through what he's been through to raise the cup, that's good for him. You know, that's a good story.
It really is, and he deserved it. I mean, he, like I said, 8 minutes, but he didn't do a lot of bad things. In fact, in one of the games in the previous series, I think he was a +3, and, you know, it's easy to be plus on that team. You're on the ice with a lot of great players, and they score, and you're there, and you get a plus. So if you still believe that metric. But the bottom line is, I was happy that he got a chance, and he went pretty early in the rotation, which tells me how they feel about him as well.
The Penguins have reached a moment of truth. We've been talking about this story forever. How long is Gino going to be here? How long is Letang going to be here? So, Bob, perhaps we can invite the listeners into a conversation at 412-928-9370. Should the Penguins try to sign both of these guys, and will they?
I said this from the beginning. I want to maintain it. I think they'll find a way to sign Letang, but it will be at the expense of Malkin. Even though I think they really want Malkin to be here, I do think that. But I also think that the natural business part of this will preclude that from happening. So it'll save them money, which offers them opportunities in free agency to help them in other areas. You know, it would be nice, though, Joe, once in a while to see somebody from their system come up and play. And not just play, but take over a spot. You know what I mean? They need guys. And they have guys who have been, you know, looked at as guys who can do it. Sam Poulin, for example, is a guy that's been down there for a while. I expect him to be up here a little bit sooner. He hasn't been up. Wouldn't it be nice if one of those guys cashed in and moved into a position and making it easier on you as an organization?
So in the end, do you think they will sign Letang and they won't sign Gino? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And would you be okay with that? Sounds like
as long as they make the right deals.
Okay.
You know, subsequently, yes.
I'm wondering if I'm Letang, it feels now like every second that I get closer to free agency, there would be a burning curiosity to know just once in my career
how much you're worth.
How much am I worth?
Yeah.
Last I read, I think it was out of The Athletic. They were $1.25 million apart, or maybe that was Elliot Friedman. I can't remember, honestly. That doesn't sound like a lot to me. Does it to you? I think Letang is going to re-sign here. But every second that goes by, I would think he'd be more and more tempted to find out what he's worth.
And guess what? The worth will go up. The price will go up if there's a team out there that looks at the way Colorado plays or the way the Penguins played back in their run. When you can get a mobile defenseman who can make things happen, pinch when need be, has the speed to cover up and do all the things that Chris Letang can still do, they're close. They want a piece. That could be the piece. They'd be willing to bring it in at a pretty high price. And that's where it becomes a disadvantage for the Penguins, because I don't think they're going to play the game of matching, you know, if it gets to that point, dollar for dollar. I think they should and probably have talked. I think Letang said he and Hextall talked, but they're not going to say anything publicly. Okay, fine. That's good. But if they don't get
Letang,
something done,
would you want to go to your hometown, Montreal, for a huge deal and play out your career?
It depends on what they – I don't think Montreal is in a position to do a lot right now. I don't like their team. So, I'd wonder about that. The money takes over everything, or are you playing for legacy? I still think he's making enough money, and he has already, that if the legacy, if he still believes they can win here with his team, with Sidney Crosby, his best friend, I think they'll find a way.
That's an interesting question.
I think Rust answered the same question, didn't he?
Well, I think for Letang, and you never know with a certain guy, what the pull would be like to play for your childhood team and put that C on your back, right? And I don't know how powerful that is for him. Maybe for more money than the Penguins would pay. It's hard to know what they're thinking. Or maybe he's been thinking all along, I'm raising my family here. I want to stay here. I want to play with Sid till we're both done together. Maybe that's the pull for him. I don't know.
I think it is a legitimate pull both ways. I think he has to decide which is more important.
And then Gino, I'm not sure if that gets done. If you're Gino, where else would you want to play?
Well, it's perfect here. He's always said, his wife likes it down there, South Beach. So, Florida's a team that could be tempting. There's been rumors before about them.
Of course, it would take Florida wanting him.
I think they would want him at the right price.
Maybe especially if they lose Trocheck.
Well, Trocheck's with Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so Trocheck's going to be a name out there.
Trocheck is a name out there as a replacement
for Gino. That story could take on some legs if the
Malkin
situation.
Is he a desirable guy for you?
I think he plays a good brand of hockey. He's not one of those guys who's going to rip off 100-point seasons, but he is a very good two-way player who has a way of drawing penalties, has a way of doing the little things that makes a difference.
And he'll give
and
you
I think
goals.
He would love to play here growing up in this area. So, but the first domino has to fall, and that would be who signs first, Letang or Malkin. And if it's Letang, how much money is left for Malkin? If he's not happy, he goes.
They have some money.
They do.
How much would you pay Gino? They'll have $9 million more. Freed. How much would I pay him? About $5 million.
How about if he wants $7 million?
Goodbye.
Which is still a pay cut for him.
Goodbye. Yeah, but he's been making more than Sidney for a long time, you know?
So it depends on what he would want. And he can answer the question too by saying, I want to be here and I'll do it to the tune of taking what this offer, whatever it may be, is. I've made enough money. I want to be in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like
and if he's willing to do that, I take him. If he's not,
if you're the Penguins,
I'm more
than
willing
to move on. This model as it is right now, knowing what some of these other teams have, the same team. Now, this is getting older. You also have Jeff Carter, who's in his late
80s. I don't like that signing.
Or
did 80s, you?
30s.
He's in his 80s. He only played like that at times.
But my point is, it's an older group. Can you win with the older group? Are you willing to pay it? Now, the other thing I think the Penguins, and I think rightfully so, take very seriously is, big crowds. All regular season does matter when it comes to bottom line revenue, and it does matter. It is a business.
Yep.
These guys attract people. These guys have built-in fans because of these guys.
Do they, though? Let's say the Penguins' season ticket base, just for – I have no idea what it is off the top of my head. Let's say it was 11,000 right now. how many people would suddenly decline season tickets or not go on a given night if they were buying single tickets because of no Gina? A significant amount?
I don't know what the number would be, but I do think there are people who want to see entertainment, and these guys do provide it throughout the course of a regular season. They've made the playoffs how many years in a row? They're going to be in the conversation. If you lose one or both, you know, you may be signaling something different to the fan base. And I don't know. I don't know how that would affect it. But I mean, I don't think if Crosby's here, Crosby's going to want those guys. I think they're going to want him. And I still think it's going to come down to one of two, and Letang would be my choice.
And Letang is the one you think that they'll
choose. I think he has a bigger impact on this
yeah.
team.
According to Friedman, they were, I think, 1.2 million apart, and they weren't close with Geno. So that seems to be the mm-hmm. way the winds are blowing here. Now, here's a listing of free agents. So if they lose one or both of those guys, but I'm thinking mostly Geno, and again, they'll still have money to spend too elsewhere. Let me just read some names, Bob, and you tell me like or no like. You ready?
Just one word, like or no like? That's two words.
Well, you can expound upon it a little bit. Now, the top guys are not realistic here. Bergeron's going to be in Boston, very likely. Gaudreau. Philip Forsberg.
Interesting player.
I like expensive.
Him. I like him, though.
Claude Giroux. I don't want him here. No. Best player in the world?
Where's Peter Laviolette?
Here's the first realistic and very interesting one to me, should they lose Geno. Nazem Kadri.
Boy, was he clutch in game, four, in overtime? And he's not clearly 100%. You'll probably read somewhere where he sucked it up to play in the last several games. Good player, nasty streak.
Yes.
I would like that, but again, it would depend on the price. And I think
all
price
of these
is gonna
depend
be,
on yeah. the price. His might be a little high. I'll grant you that. And he's 31.
Well, join the club.
That's sort of a concern.
Club.
But the player.
If you're trying to win now. You think he can help you in the next year or two?
Yes.
Then you have to consider that, yes.
And he's got, see, part of the Penguins' problem, and I do think they've outplayed both of these teams the last 2 years and would have won with good goaltending, but that's only round one.
Right.
You still got to get through three more to win the cup, two more to get there. They're a little bit bland, you know, to me. There's not a lot of personality and distinguishing characteristics among their lower line players and their defense, whereas there was when they were winning cups.
Yeah.
When you had guys like Bonino, Edge, Hornquist, Hagelin, Cullen, even Ian Cole, people like that. Give me some.
They miss Ian Cole. I still believe that.
And listen, if they're going to take your heads off, if that's the way the league still wants it, then give me a guy like Kadri, a guy who plays with an edge and who's productive. I'd be all over that. I would.
I would, too. And there's another guy on your list, I'm sure, who's right up there, and he's got baggage. Evander Kane. He's a free agent, and you wonder, you know, he has a nice home in Edmonton right now, and they took a chance on him when nobody
yes,
else would.
Yes, they did.
Are they willing to – he had a huge run in the playoffs. I mean, he was very
does
natural.
Does he still have unresolved issues as far as suspensions or anything, or is he in the clear now?
Why would he have played if he had I can't believe he would be playing if there were still – issues out there that needed to be taken care of. That would make no sense to me. So I imagine it's all in his past.
Would you take a chance on him?
How old is he?
Good question. I don't know. Right around 30 would be my guess.
You know, he's one of those signings that you know what you're going to get backlash if he does come in here.
He's exactly 30. Turns 31 in August.
Same as Kadri, so... I would be interested. I would probably talk and see what I can figure out.
How about one of their own retaining? And this is just a general question because we're talking about a winger. Raquel Welch.
We didn't really get a – oh, she was back in the day. Was she before Bo Derek? Bo Derek was a 10. Raquel Welch was
– around the same time, Bob, I think. Ricard Raquel, would you keep him?
Raquel Welch, I would. You know what? I didn't see enough to make me think. Now, I thought if they had lost Russ, they would put a lot more emphasis on him. Yeah, I would try to. Sure.
I was nonplussed with him. You like that word?
He's 28. Nonplussed, yes. Yeah. 28.
I don't know. There was something. When he first came here, I was like, this guy's got a little edge to his game.
Too,
He's more of a playmaker than I thought. And then it kind of wore off. I know he got hurt in the playoffs, but even in the scant minutes that he played before his injury and after, just very, very sort of bland. is again a word I would use. Yeah. I'm not putting money into Raquel. I'm not. You?
I would say likely no, but it would depend on if I didn't have any other options that, you know, because they did acquire him. And I think Ron Hextall is one of these GMs who, when he acquires you, he feels there's some sort of reason to keep guys around, you know?
Yes.
Even though he, you know, he had a history with Carter, he doesn't have a history with Raquel other than he brought him here. But he may like the fact that I did this, I'm keeping him around at the whatever the price may be.
How about good cop, bad cop? Andrew Kopp of the Rangers and Ryan Strome, both potential free agents. Either one or both
I like Kopp.
Interest you?
I thought Kopp was excellent for New York.
So did I.
I thought he was terrific.
They have a third-line center, of course, in Bluger.
They do.
Right?
But I still would figure, if I lost Malkin, I would try to figure out, you know, how I would attack the center position in free agency. Because you don't see anyone else in their system stepping up next year into a prominent role, do you?
I mean, there's a couple of guys, when you say prominent, that would be top four defense or top
I'm talking about top
two
six.
Lines. Yeah, no,
somebody
I don't. No,
in.
I don't.
I don't either. And they can try, but I don't know that it's going to work.
If they lose Letang, John Klingberg from the Stars.
He's a really productive player, but I wouldn't sign him.
Even if they lost Letang?
Even if they lost Letang.
Who's your guy then? Where do you find that guy on defense? Because it seems to me, even more than having that guy at goalie, that having him on defense seems to be a critical component of Stanley Cup champions, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And this is the problem the Penguins have. Again, I'm hoping some of these guys in the minors can, you know, flourish here sooner rather than later. If you had a stock system, you can make trades. You can do a lot of things to acquire guys who are ready to step into that role right now, who are not on your free agent list.
In this case, but I think you have to buy one.
You have
if you
to.
Didn't have
and
Letang.
I'm not, you know.
The money would be there.
How old is Klingberg? I keep asking that question, but I mean,
he came into the league in 14, so I imagine he's right around there too, late 20s, early 30s. But I'll look that up too as well, Bob.
I also
he's 29.
I don't
He'll
know.
Be 30 in August.
Okay, I don't
I'm pretty
think
good
Hextall,
on my guesses.
You are. I don't believe Hextall is the kind of guy like Rutherford who's going to overpay. He's not going to go out there and give a crazy contract, multiple years. You know, the term comes back to haunt you at times in the NHL. So I'm not sure.
Well, the problem is they're already overpaying for defensemen.
Yes.
They had the highest or second highest paid defense in the league
can
for
you
that
envision,
defense.
Can you envision a trade?
And that's Rutherford's fault, by the way. A trade for what?
I mean, trading guys like Dumoulin. Anybody else who they can, you know,
could envision
shuffle
any of that.
Deck.
Listen, if Hextall is able to partially get rid of contracts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Like Zucker's and Pettersson's, that might be the best work that he does. Because they have some albatross contracts hanging over them right now.
Again,
way too much money for what they're getting on defense.
I agree, but you got to get rid of it, and how do you get rid of it?
Well, you offer to take some salary and you deal a guy.
Right.
Because those are guys who could still play. Like, I could see a team valuing Zucker in a certain role. You're going to get a lot of heart, you're going to get some production, and you might get a healthy player.
Hopefully he's healthy.
And if the Penguins are willing to retain part of his salary, that could be a good move. Like the Avalanche, made some really good moves for people who are underperforming in other places, right?
Right.
Several of those. You mentioned Taves was one.
I love that guy. I think he gets not enough love for what he does.
I could see somebody valuing Zucker in such a way to where if the Penguins picked up some of his salary, they get a bargain. Same with Pettersson. If you put him in the right role,
yeah, when
he could help somebody.
He can help somebody, especially if it's a minimal price. And if you have to suck up some of the money, so be it.
Man, those would be among my priorities here if I was Hextall, is to get rid of some of that salary, especially on defense, where they're way overpriced.
Got to find someone who's willing to take.
412-928-9370. Going to switch gears coming up here and talk about a brawl in baseball. But this was a legit brawl.
It was. But I also have an answer to your previous question. This is from Pittsburgh Golfing on Twitter.
Please.
Guy hits me up and says, "Hey, Bob, tell Joe, know that screwing up after the next hole following a birdie, it's called PBF."
No. I don't think you're allowed to say even the acronym, Bob.
Is that not true? Okay. But he's answering your question.
I know.
Okay. So you knew the answer then? You knew what I was going to say.
I've been tweeted since then, and then I remembered, but I always knew that there was a word or two in there that
I didn't even know. I thought
you'd be. I don't know. Is there a rule on acronyms here? I don't know. Is there or no?
He would have been okay with
it. He would have been okay. I got a little nervous there.
Yeah, you did. That's all right.
You got nervous.
All right, Colsey's running the show.
It'll be an off air conversation, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's your answer. I have it for you in case you want it.
Thank you, Bob.
And apparently, it really does inflict pain on a lot of people for whatever reason. Why are you too hot?
Well, especially if you're not used to getting birdies.
Why did you have a drive, three of them, and went out of bounds after you make a birdie? You should be stoked at that point.
You should know the answer to that. As a golfer, that golfing is life. You start feeling too good about yourself, something hits you. You start feeling bad about yourself, hopefully something raises you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very humbling game. So I was on top of the world with my birdie. And then you know what I felt going to the next tee? I'm not worthy of this. These guys are real golfers. They're judging me. What if I start to think I'm good? Am I now acting like I'm good because I made a birdie?
That little guy on your shoulders talking to you. You got to knock him off, man.
Right.
You just got a clear vision, focus on what you're doing, and forget about all of that.
You know, I should have stepped to the next tee and said, you know what? I am good, even though I'm not. I'm horrible. But I should have said, I just made a birdie.
Right.
Let's get this moving here.
That's right. You could will it. You can will it.
Instead, I went into a shame spiral, especially after I hit the tree. I did a drive off of a tree that was maybe 30 yards in front of me. It was a joke.
What happens?
You know what I did yesterday, though, Bob? On my way to 100? Played very conservatively. The toughest hole on the course at Westwood is a par 5. Maybe it's number 6, somewhere in there. And instead of trying to just pound it, you know, and be a hero, make hero shots, I said to myself, I'm going to use a wedge for my tee shot and just hit it straight. That's all. The Jim Colony plan.
Wait a minute. You hit a wedge.
No, not a wedge. A hybrid.
That's not conservative. Not a wedge. That's plain out stupid.
I hit a hybrid is what I mean. I get confused between my hybrids and my wedges. And I went the Jim Colony route. I hit it maybe 130 yards, 40 yards.
Keep it in play.
Straight. Okay. Yeah. Then I needed to hit to the left to get, because it was a weird hole, right? I needed to hit it to the left to have a straight shot at the hole. So I took out a 7-iron. I said, all I'm going to do is hit this back on to, or where I need to have it, maybe 130 or 40 yards. I did that. Then my third shot was straight at the hole. And I put it a little to the right in the rough, but it was off the green. And my specialty these days is the wedge, the little sand wedge.
Yeah, that's
so I went up
shot.
There with my sand wedge, feeling really good about myself, chipped it maybe 4 feet from the hole and drilled a par. And I parred the toughest hole on the course.
You were
focused. Boy, was I proud, Bob.
You should have been proud. And then you went to the next tee and shanked it left, right?
No. Next tee, I got into a dispute with the guys in front of me.
This is too much information.
They were playing poorly, which I can relate to, and a little bit slow, Bob. And I had been friendly with them as we were waiting to tee off on previous holes. And on this one, I said, do you mind if I play in front of you? Is that a reasonable request as a single?
Yes, and they should have offered. You shouldn't have had to ask.
They never offered.
Well,
they never offered.
Offer. If you're behind them with one person, first of all, you shouldn't be playing as a onesome.
Well, they let me.
They shouldn't let
me. What
you.
Am I supposed to do? Wait for a half hour?
Wait for somebody
there was
else.
Nobody behind me.
Well, then,
it's
etiquette
a public
wise,
course,
they should have invited you to go.
Yes, they should have. And they didn't, which was fine. And then I said to the guy, do you mind if I play ahead of you? And you know what his passive aggressive response was? He's like, yeah, you're just going to have to wait when we get up there anyway. Just like that. And that started to play on my mind because then I sensed that they were behind me. I said, no, you know what? Go ahead. He's like, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Just like that. And then that changed the dynamic heading forward with my mindset because now I had two guys behind me who were unhappy with me, who wanted me to play
them.
Fast.
You should have joined them.
I didn't like them.
I can see it now.
I didn't like them. Either
Breaking
one
news,
of them.
Brawl at local golf course triggered with Joe Starkey radio host
and then,
an etiquette battle that never came to a conclusion. Fists.
And then the next two, I said, I met them in the bar between the ninth and tenth holes. I said, hey, can I play ahead of you guys? Of course you can. You're a single. Go ahead. Then the next group was a group of four younger guys, and they offered. So all of that pointed back to these two other guys as poor sports,
right.
Bob.
Yeah, I agree. They should have let you go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the way you do it.
And you would have offered, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't like people breathing down my neck.
No, I don't like
that
either.
I'd rather you just go. Just go ahead. You can go, and you should go.
Passive-aggressive response, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, go ahead, but you will just be waiting anyway. And that played on me. That played on my mind for the next couple holes.
See, not only did you have Joe Coltsy almost drive off the path and roll over in a cart malfunction, he could have had one of those videos that you see on the golf course where people start yelling at each other, throwing clubs at one another. It would have been viral.
He does need a camera crew with him.
You can imagine my mindset then when I went up to the tee, knowing these guys didn't want me to go up to the tee. It was a mixture of anger, I'll prove it to them, and also insecurity. I suck at golf, and now we'll go back to how bad they're playing. Bob, it played on my mind, right?
It shouldn't.
He meant to do that, didn't he?
These are things you need to just phase out of your head.
Yeah.
You just do.
You're set up for failure. If you've got multiple things going on in your mind that isn't about hitting that golf ball, you're screwed.
Did you ever find the Folsy commercial?
I'm still in the works with it. I was recording a lot of Ron's things because he's out.
Okay. Was he on the line live then with you?
No, he was not. He sent them in.
He sent them in.
Yes.
All right. Coming up, Bob, there was a real live actual brawl in baseball. Let's talk about this. This was something to see, and we will talk about it coming up next on Cook and Joe. Today it's Cook and Bob. Or no, it's Joe and Bob. Cook is on vacation, as we've already mentioned. Folsy, any idea where Bob went?
I saw him in the back kitchen back there. I was getting a coffee. I think he was getting a coffee as well. We had a brief conversation about how Bob was up until 3 a.m. last night because he couldn't fall asleep.
Did the conversation turn to why he wouldn't be back in time for the next segment?
It did not.
Did you see the base brawl between the Mariners and the Angels? I mean, this was usually in baseball. And welcome back, Bob. I hope your coffee's nice and hot and fresh. You're a little late for the segment, but it's good to see you.
I'm late for the segment because you were very late getting to the commercial, which put back everything else that was going on.
What does being late getting out of a segment have to do with the next segment?
11:28. You were 12 minutes over. You know it.
That makes
Matt
the break even longer, Folsy. That makes the break even longer.
Which is why I had to go. I had to go into the bathroom and I got a coffee. It took longer because you went longer. I wouldn't have done both. You forced me to do two things when my expectation was one.
I'm not even going to dignify that.
I'm not going to comment on this either.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get myself in the middle of it.
Best of us not to. Bob, this was no ordinary baseball fight here. Usually it's, I wanted to fight him, but they held me back. This one, between the Mariners and Angels, there were guys throwing actual punches. Anthony Rendon, with a cast on
his
right
injured,
hand,
out for the
punched
year.
Somebody. With the cast.
With the cast. That should be double. Eight guys were ejected.
How about the umpire, the crew chief? Now, I can't find his name here. Saying that he wasn't aware of the incident with Trout from the night before. That's what started the whole thing.
Exactly.
They threw it. Trout felt like they threw at him. It looked like it to me.
To me,
and he went crazy.
Yeah. So he had to. How could you not be aware? I mean,
it's your job to be aware of such things going into the next day's game.
Especially when you know and you're down there and you hear what's being said and you know that has volatility written all over it.
I wasn't aware of the incident with Trout from last night, said crew chief Adrian Johnson.
Then you're not doing your job. That's
a terrible
admission.
Because that creates the whole atmosphere for the next day's game.
Which
means if there's a hit batsman or brush back early, which there was, you need to do more than just issue a warning, which is all he did. That precipitated the fight,
and then the other
which
team
could have precipitated
like,
guys getting hurt.
When you only do a warning, you know that it was reciprocal from last night. That's when the other team then gets mad and says, now you're putting the onus on us. We respond, and we're going to be ejected. So there should have been a warning before the game even started about this. So I don't think they did their job well. But You know what they need, those umpires? When you see linesmen in the NHL go in there and they're in between guys, haymakers being, sometimes they need some NHL linesmen to go in there, and they don't have them because the umpires aren't going to do that. They can't do it.
There's no way. No. I wouldn't. But usually those things sort themselves out, and there's really no punches thrown for the most part right. in base brawls. But this, did you see Iglesias come out and
yes.
throw an entire case of sunflower seeds on the field? That was
tremendous. That's an interesting dynamic. If you're going to do anything, your choice is sunflower seeds.
Yes.
That doesn't seem like something that should be the first choice of someone trying to make a statement. Did he just grab it because he was looking at anything to grab? They have bubble gum.
I think gum was in there too, to be fair.
Okay. So it was a mixture of gum.
Mixture of gum and sunflower seeds and everything. Everybody was off the field at that point. Nothing was, and he comes running out and throws a case of it onto the field. And the night before it was Swanson throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at Mike Trout's head. Oh, I wasn't aware of that going into the game today. Come on. What a joke.
I mean, I was stunned to see their third baseman, who is now out, Rendon, in the middle of that with a cast on, getting involved. I mean, I was just, you got to be kidding me. This guy, what a waste of money that's been, by the way. Angels are good at wasting a lot of money.
$245 million for nothing. Yeah, they are very good at that. Do you agree with my assertion, Bob, that Ohtani is the great right now is the greatest baseball player who ever walked the planet?
Well, he's on track to become that, yes.
I'm not talking about lifetime achievement. I'm talking if you could pluck any player out of their prime in the history of the game, who's better than he is right now? He had on back-to-back days last week. 13 strikeouts
that was
followed
after.
Yeah, 8 RBIs.
8 RBIs the night before. And then he hit one on Saturday night, 462 feet. He has 16 home runs. He's one of the best pitchers in the game. So you're right. From that point of view, now the question now becomes, how much is it going to translate into free agent dollars if he gets there? Or do the Angels just do what they should do and not sign him? How much?
That's the question because I don't know how long he's going to last as a pitcher.
Le'Veon Bell once said, hey, I'm both a receiver and a running back. No, you're not. That position requires you to catch the ball.
Right.
This is like playing for two players. You have a starting pitcher who's maybe an ace.
It's like playing two sports.
Right. And who's also one of your best hitters and is going to hit 40 home runs and drive in 100-plus. But he pitches, and wouldn't it be wild if he won a Cy Young and a Triple Crown all in one year?
I don't see how anyone else in history is comparable. I wrote this last week and got some tweets. What about Barry Bonds? Yes, Barry Bonds is a better position player by far than Ohtani. But last I checked, Bonds wasn't third in the league in strikeout rate for a pitcher.
It's incredible when he's on his game.
To me, there's no conversation unless it's Babe Ruth. Yeah. And he only spent 1 year really doing both. And he was pretty good at both. He wasn't great at both that year.
But we haven't seen anything since then. Nobody's been able to do this. And it's amazing the talent that they have, at least on paper in Anaheim, and they continue to wallow in mediocrity.
I love that they fired Joe Maddon. I heard it was plantar fasciitis, Bob. You?
Yeah, I think it was. He made a lot of money, though, in his day.
I don't know how much money he did. You like him?
Actually, you know, I got to know him. He shops over at Heinz Healy's where I go when he's in town. He's a really nice guy. I've also seen him at a banquet.
Special shoes for plantar fasciitis?
They don't know. Just clothes. But the point is, he's pretty engaging, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, what he did here was ridiculous. And the fact that a guy seriously injured, made fun of it, essentially, is terrible.
But if you saw him beyond that, you would see
an engaging guy who I don't think.
Lots of mistakes are forgivable to me, most, in fact. But that one I just never got over, that we saw with our own two eyes, everybody at the game, I'm assuming the manager in the opposing dugout, a catastrophic knee injury that when you first saw it, you said, man, that could be the end of that guy's career. And it actually, it was scary from a medical perspective that night in the hospital, like, what's going to happen with this guy? And his best response was to joke about it. I'll never understand what he was doing there.
I don't either, because it was clear what was happening there, and it was serious. And yet he had time to think about that. That's the most ridiculous thing. he had time after the game, you know, several, I don't know how long that their time elapsed between when him being carted off and he had time to think about it. He still right. made that comment. Ridiculous.
Peter Gammons said something or quoted somebody saying something incredible about the Pirates and their immediate future. This one was eye-opening, even more eye-opening than the stare down Bob and I had earlier that you can find online, which I won, by the way. Folsy, have you found the stable commercial yet that you recorded? Can you put a little more effort into that?
I'm trying to go back into our...
He's doing a lot of work back there.
I know, but that was the one request I had. I want to compare your commercial earlier, Bob.
I didn't even know it was a commercial. I was just trying to have fun with it.
And you were great. But impromptu, it was amazing what you did. It's also Bob's 40th anniversary at KDKA coming up. Folsy and I are going to conduct a sit-down, a Barbara Walters-style sit-down with Bob, where we simply ask him questions about his career. Folsy, you looking forward to that?
I love it.
Do you have your questions ready? Or that
I've
too,
got a couple. I've got a couple down.
Yeah? So you managed to write those down, but not find...
Well, I was trying to find the KDKA TV sounder that I lost somehow. Its computer got updated.
Yeah.
But now I found it.
Oh, my God. You know what else is happening today?
No. I don't have time. I don't have time.
What is this? Nobody has time? We're doing a radio show here today. There's a showdown at noon.
There can't be a showdown because I'm asking the question to you only.
No,
Ron's not here.
It's me against Folsy. I already told you about that.
He did?
This is unbelievable, Folsy.
You didn't tell me that. I think we should take just a week off.
Just take the questions that you did on the showdown. That's what we do.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Bob hates the showdown, to be honest.
I know.
No, it's just that he always hits me with it when I forget coming in here.
Yeah, just scribble down a bunch of questions. Me against Folsy at noon. It'll be interesting. Peter Gammons, who's been writing baseball literally forever. I mean, he had one of the first great notes columns in the country, Bob. When? I mean, did it start in the early 80s, thing?
I think
in
maybe the 70s? Even before when was that. I think it was the late 1970s. When notes columns just started, and he was, I always love those because just little treats about different items, which sparks conversation too.
It's fantastic.
And I'm sure you're going to provide one now that sparks a conversation.
Yes, I am. And it comes from The Athletic. And is it Gammons quoting somebody within the organization, Matt? Is that right? Where this quote came from?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Saying that, here it is. Here's Gammons' quote. In the first 10 days of June, I panicked there for a moment, Bob, because I had it earlier and then it disappeared just to let you behind the scenes.
You concede your panic very well. You didn't conceal it. I mean, you didn't show it.
Gammons says, in the first 10 days of June, I had a longtime baseball coach and organizational instructor now working in the Pittsburgh organization say the Pirates, quote, will win it all in the next 5 years. Their talent base from AA up is championship quality. This guy says O'Neill Cruz may be one of the most talented players I've ever seen. The people running the organization are the most thoughtful, the most creative, and the best people I've ever been around. Cruz needs time to develop polish and learn the everyday game, but it's unbelievable how hard he hits the ball, how well he throws. Here's the most curious part of what this man said, whoever he is. They have a ton of young pitching. Really?
Well, that's the one area that I thought they need more of. Now, Quinn Priester's one of them. They have other guys in AAA who are doing okay. I'm not sure where they rank in terms of their best prospects.
Not highly.
But I think that's one area where they may need to go out and supplement eventually and spend money.
Me too. And it's who has a fully homegrown pitching staff, even at the top?
Yeah, not many.
How many teams in history who have won it all? When the Cubs won with a lot of homegrown players after they tanked, they went out and they bought John Lester.
For a lot of money.
Right?
Right.
They got lucky in a trade for Arrieta, or did they sign him as a free agent? I can't believe
it. I think it was a trade first, and then they re-signed him.
Yeah.
And then he plummeted.
Right, but not until he turned into Christy Mathewson for a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm, or at least that 1 year. And the Pirates themselves supplemented their pitching. Of course they did when they got good for a while, and it was Liriano and Burnett.
And you need to do it.
And they got lucky with both. Nobody had those two pegged as all-stars when they
But I'd be interested to understand who he is referring to, who this insider of the Pirate organization.
Well, Contreras would be one, right?
Okay, but he's the only one that I see right now.
Here are their top five prospects coming into the season. Gonzalez, who's now hurt, by the way. That was a disturbing development.
Yeah, long-term, they put him on 60-day.
Henry Davis, O'Neill Cruz, Quinn Priester, who's now where? Altoona? Is that right, Matty?
Yes. Believe so.
He's the guy that I referred to.
And Contreras. And then,
by the way, did you see Henry Davis hit a home run yesterday?
Did he?
For Altoona, and he got the game-winning RBI two-run double in the top of the ninth.
Now, if he has a big year there,
move him right up.
And then he starts next year one phone call away.
I think he starts next year up here. Who do they really have?
Well, let me first check the pitching here. Priester was fourth. Solomedo, what's his situation right now? He's only 19 years old, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just drafted him this past summer.
Have they decided if Bubba Chandler is a pitcher or a shortstop yet?
I don't think so. I don't think they want to put the limitations on him yet.
And then you go down.
Maybe he could be Shohei Ohtani.
Maybe.
He could be the next guy. Put him on the mound and then move him around.
And there's a bunch of guys in lower minors. They do have several in their top 25. They do. But they're not close to the majors. But I'm not. So maybe that's what this guy was talking about when he's saying they have tons of young pitching. He's talking about in the lower levels of the minors. And by the way, they have the number four pick in this year's draft.
Right now they do. It may change. But they're going to have a top five pick.
What do you mean? I'm talking the draft that's about to happen.
Oh, I thought you meant based on this year.
Oh, so you're going to get a good pick next year too.
Yeah. Well, they are.
Now, not only a good pick in the first round, but don't forget that means every round you get a nice high pick.
Yeah, but I don't know are there generational players available, and I don't know enough about this year's
draft.
I don't know,
and that's the one thing the Pirates don't seem to have, although O'Neill Cruz could. He's a generational talent. Whether he's a generational player, we'll see. I've never witnessed anything like this on a baseball field in my life, and I have no idea if he's a viable long-term player.
But here's the thing. Kevin Newman's about to come off the DL. I don't want to see any part, and all due respect to Kevin Newman, but this is O'Neill Cruz's opportunity, and he should start every night.
Yes, he should.
He didn't start yesterday, did he? No. But, I mean,
what
I'm talking about.
I know, but
days off, whatever. But I'm talking about he should be the man out there every single day. I want to make an acknowledgement of where he is, and I want to have some information at this level on a consistently long, not just a couple of weeks. I want to see it. And if you struggle, figure it out. Let's see how you adapt.
It's pretty much becoming a consensus opinion across baseball from people who observe this game that the Pirates are going to have a ton of talent up here within a couple of years and have a real chance to win. Whether it happens, I don't know. But my bet is yes. That they're going to have an abundance of talent and that they'll do enough, and this will be up to Charrington and his people to supplement that talent the way that Huntington did once upon a time to win for a little while.
Yep.
To win for a little while. And it's going to happen pretty soon, Bob.
I think winning's important. I think that's also part of the process. You have to learn how to win. It's not just putting a bunch of kids out there, but they got to learn how to win. To that end, next year, I would bring in a couple of supplemental pitchers.
Sure. I want them to pump. Here's where you and I finally agree, that this is the offseason to pump the payroll.
Yeah.
I want
Not drastically, but you got to spend on premium guys.
Yes. Go out and buy a pitcher or two for next year.
And it could help the younger pitchers as well.
And by the way, if O'Neill Cruz becomes a superstar, then you score one for Neil Huntington. God knows he's had some on the other side of the ledger.
Right.
But O'Neill Cruz for Tony Watson?
That's right, his trade. One of the best trades ever, potentially.
Could be, potentially.
Tony Watson served a role out there. He did. But to get somebody like that, and that's what this whole process has been about, getting guys that you can, and make sure those prospects turn into something special.
I think this is going to get good. I do. I'm making that bet.
You've already gone on record, say 2027 World Series champs.
And now apparently there's someone in the organization who says within the next 5 years, and this is a guy who's been around who's speaking anonymously, next 5 years they're going to win it all. You agree?
It's too early for me to say that. I've been down this road too many times.
Does it sound crazy to you?
No, it sounds like what we've seen from Houston specifically.
Chicago?
Yeah, but specifically
Atlanta.
Houston. I look at Houston as the team because they went completely down to nothing, and they kind of built it up with trades.
Didn't the Cubs do that more or less?
Yeah, but I thought Houston's fall was even more precipitous, and it was in advance of what they were trying to do, and eventually it happened. They were three straight years one of the worst teams ever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, guys start playing.
Pirates the hockey had team six... across town has used that recipe a couple times.
The yesterday the Pirates had six rookies in their lineup counting Contreras. That's significant.
Bob has a showdown coming up next. It's me against Folsy. Folsy against me. The entire nation will be watching.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.